Digital LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
This is Air Force One. We are declaring an emergency. We're not going to make it. I have to put it down now.
Chloe, what's happening?
Air Force One, you copy?
Chloe!
Air Force One is down.
This may be him. It's the President. He's still alive. I repeat, the President is alive.
Mar-1 has to be within a 50-mile radius.
Jack.
There's a higher priority than finding Mar-1.
What is it?
Recovering the nuclear football.
Didn't it go down with Air Force One?
The missile inflicted enough damage that the plane left a trail of debris as it went down. A lot of things were sucked out, including the football. That case contains the codes and locations of our entire nuclear arsenal.
What's the location of the football?
40 miles northeast of here in the middle of the desert.
The terrorists escape in two jeeps.
Support! Football is in the lead! Jeep headed north! Take it out!
A CTU helicopter forces the Jeep off the road, and it somersaults into a ditch. Jack recovers the football.
I'm in possession of the football. Three hostiles are down, one escape. I'm not positive, but I think it was Mar-1. There's some pages missing.
Tell me what the contents are of the missing pages.
Jack, it's the red section, which contains warhead locations and activation codes. If they get a hold of a warhead and a matching activation code, we will not be able to stop them.
Mr. Vice President.
President Keeler is alive. But he's in critical condition. Sir, I recommend you invoke the 25th Amendment and take control of things as soon as possible.
You're worried about him?
I am. He seems unsure of himself.
I do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Mr. President, I've just received a phone call from CTU. Part of the nuclear football has fallen into the hands of terrorists.
The following takes place between 12 a.m. and 1 a.m.
Buchanan briefs CTU.
Vice President Logan has been sworn into office. He is now President of the United States. His office called. They want an update from us in 15 minutes.
We're working on several protocols related to the plane crash. What is he going to want to focus on?
He's going to want to know how a stealth fighter was stolen from one of our air bases. And more to the point, how it was able to take down Air Force One with one of our own missiles.
Has he been briefed on Mar-1?
He knows Mar-1 is the mastermind behind today's events, yes. But he's going to want more specifics on the football. Where are we on that?
Jack's at the debris field outside Indio. He's trying to reconstruct the red chapter of the playbook that was stolen by Mar-1.
How's he doing that?
He's working with Fred Lawton from the Department of Defense. He wrote the code, so he'll know what's missing.
Good.
Who's going to run point on this update?
You and Tony.
All right, everyone. We don't have a lot of time, so we're going to have to fast-track this. Double source all intel through Homeland Security and CIA. Skip the usual request procedures. Tie into their data directly. Yes?
Miss Dessler, I've got Jack Bauer on the line.
Put him through.
Go ahead, Jack.
Michelle, are you still in briefing?
Yes, Jack, you're on speaker. What have you found?
Fred Lawton and I just finished a rough reconstruction of the Red Chapter. We're getting that over to you now.
Jack, it's Bill Buchanan. Summarize our exposure. What information exactly does Mar-1 now have in his possession?
Well, the Red Chapter lays out the location of our domestic nuclear arsenal. The inventory's in the thousands. Many of the weapons are in transit as part of our standard shift operations.
Why can't DOD just secure these weapons?
Because a number of the weapons are in between checkpoints. It would take over an hour to account for all of them. Listen, everyone, we've got to remember, Mar-1 only needs one.
All right, Jack, we'll get on this immediately.
Get back here as soon as you can and help Audrey liaison with DOD.
We need to account for every single weapon documented in that chapter.
I'm on my way.
Mar-1 to one of his men somewhere in the desert.
The coordinates for the third one are latitude 37 degrees, 14 minutes. Longitude 115 degrees, 21 minutes.
He plots the convoy's destination on a laptop map of the U.S.
There it is. Jefferson City, Iowa.
When is the warhead due to arrive?
7 a.m. local time, 5 hours from now.
That puts it somewhere 200 miles east. It's still in Illinois.
We can intercept it anywhere from this point to here.
All right. Let's put our people in place.
Mar-1 leaves by van. Tony to Michelle.
The warheads that are in transit because of the daily shift in hide operations pose the biggest problem.
Well, we can verify military traffic in the coastal areas from here. Why don't we find out what DOD has in the Midwest?
Yeah, that's already underway. Audrey said she should have it in a few minutes.
Look, Tony.
Am I interrupting something?
No, Chloe, what is it?
Are you logged on to Division 3?
Yeah.
Look at this. 15 minutes ago, the credit card of Eric Murphy was used at Western Gas Station in Torrance.
Who's Eric Murphy?
His real name is Yosef Khatami. He's a terrorist affiliated with Marwan.
How do we know that?
From a watch list. We put out a net asking for anybody connected to the name Habib Marwan. We didn't expect any hits so soon.
Why was he so careless?
Maybe he wasn't. Maybe it's some sort of decoy.
Well, it wouldn't be much of a decoy because we don't know where he is or what direction they're traveling in. This was a mistake.
Did the gas station have a surveillance camera?
Yes, he's driving a black Lexus LS430.
Are we hooked in the satellite?
Yes, we're monitoring them now. If this guy's still on the road, we'll find him.
What do we have in the area to run point?
Curtis just left Division. He's headed over here right now.
Divert him to Western Gas Station. Have field ops meet him there.
All right.
As Jack heads back to CTU by helicopter, he contacts Audrey by cell phone.
This is Audrey.
Hey, it's me.
Hey, are you on your way back here?
Yeah. How much of the weaponry has been accounted for so far?
72%. We're having problems getting confirmations from the Midwest.
Why?
There are several convoys shipping weapons to be dismantled in accordance with the Arms Reduction Treaty. A lot of them were rerouted after the train bombing this morning.
Just use local channels. All weapon transports have to check in with regional substations. Just call them directly.
All right. I'll do that.
How are you holding up?
I'm okay.
What have the doctors told you about Paul?
They're having a hard time keeping him stable.
Just hang in there. He'll fight through it.
Yeah.
Tell Michelle I'll be there in 20 minutes.
All right, will do. Bye.
Jack stares blankly out of the helicopter window as they fly above the twinkling streetlights of a sleeping Los Angeles. 12:07. Yosef phones Marwan from his car.
Yes.
Marwan, it's me.
Is everything all right?
No. No, it's not. I made a stupid mistake. They're gonna find me.
What happened?
I stopped to get gas. While I was driving away, I realized I used the wrong credit card. The one with the name Eric Murphy. The one you gave me.
I told you to get rid of that one.
I was in a hurry, Habib. I had to make the arrangements for the delivery of the warhead.
When that transaction gets flagged, they'll be searching the highways.
I know, that's why I'm not on the highway anymore.
Where are you?
Inglewood. I'm on my way to Prado's now.
You're closer to the marina. Go straight there, I'll have him meet you.
Prado will help you get out of the country.
Thank you, Habib. Thank you.
Inside the White House, Novick to newly invested President Logan.
Mr. President, it may be precipitous moving to the bunker now. Working from the Oval Office might exhibit a greater sense of confidence in our abilities to handle this crisis.
The purpose of the bunker is to protect the president in times of crises, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Well, I feel it is always wiser to take the prudent course.
British Sky Broadcasting presents 24, starring Kiefer Sutherland as Jack Bauer, Kim Raver as Audrey Raines, Carlos Bernard as Tony Almeida, and Rico Aylesworth as Michelle Desler. Created by Joel Sono and Robert Cochran, voiced by Tim Bruce on behalf of MCS Agency. 12:09. Novick accompanies the president and his bodyguards into a secure lift that takes them down into a solid concrete bunker beneath the White House. Military staff bristle back and forth while armed guards in combat uniforms secure the doors. The emblem of the presidential eagle decorates the floor of a stark inner chamber, entombed like the bowels of a modern pyramid.
Am I able to function at 100% down here, Mike?
Absolutely, Mr. President.
What kind of protection does this bunker afford?
Total. You're 200 feet below the surface. If the White House suffers a direct hit, everyone in the bunker would be safe, as would the communication infrastructure to the rest of the country.
Let's hope that's not needed.
Logan walks into a semi-formal sitting room and anxiously ponders the presidential insignia etched into glass. An aide approaches Novick.
Yes.
Mr. Buchanan is on the line, sir.
Mr. President, Bill Buchanan from CTU is on the line.
Logan pulls himself together and edges towards the phone.
Hello, Bill.
What do you have for me?
Mr. President, I'm here with Michelle Dessler, director of CTU Los Angeles, and Tony Almeida, heading up tactical.
Good. Let's get started. Have all of our armaments referenced in the Red Chapter been secured?
Not completely, Mr. President, but we're working with DOD on that.
What else do we know?
The man who choreographed today's events, Habib Marwan, is still at large. Most likely, he is in possession of the Red Chapter.
What are we doing to find him?
We just picked up a thread, sir.
We have a location where one of Marwan's associates was detected 20 minutes ago.
That sounds promising. What else?
We're sifting through all our intel now. We're hoping to put together a pursuit scenario soon.
So you're pretty confident you'll be able to catch this terrorist, this Habib Marwan, before he strikes again?
It's not an exact science, sir. All we can do is maximize the probability for success. There are no guarantees.
Of course, I understand that. We need to get control of the situation. And I can't run the government from down here indefinitely, but I'm not going upstairs until it's safe.
Sir.
I think their time is better spent working up what they have. I recommend we let them get back to it.
Novik's determined glare overcomes Logan's green indecision.
Okay, Bill. Call us when you have something more concrete.
Yes, sir, I will.
Buchanan avoids Michelle's look of concern.
All right. Let's get back to it.
Wait a second. Does anybody else feel uneasy about what we just heard here?
In what way?
Logan's supposed to be the man who speaks to the people of this country and exudes confidence, not fear.
Air Force One was just attacked. President Keeler is in critical condition. Logan was just sworn in. Give him time.
We don't have time.
We've got Yosuke Tami. A traffic cam picked him up heading towards the coast. We have him on satellite.
Link this up to Curtis. I want him running point on this takedown.
Tell Curtis to remain discreet. I want to know what Katami is doing, who he's meeting before we take him down.
As Buchanan leaves, Tony and Michelle exchange glances. 12:12. End of part one. Part two. 12:16. Tony to Michelle.
Michelle. I was out of line a couple hours ago about you and Bill. It's your life, and I've got no right to judge you.
I appreciate that.
And whatever tension there is between us, I want to apologize for my part in it. I'd like it if we could just let it go so we could do our jobs. Leave the past in the past and move on.
Sounds good.
All right.
Emotions begin to churn as she watches him return to his workstation, her eyes lingering as they look. Buchanan pretends not to notice when she suddenly glances towards him.
Thank you.
Curtis just called in. He's about to arrive at the marina and set up.
Good. Set up a satellite, also patching an audio link.
I'll take care of it now.
Thanks, Edgar.
You want me to run point on that?
No, Bill and I will do that, but I want you in on this.
To do what?
I'd like your tactical input.
Fine, I'll have Edgar transfer everything over to the Situation Room.
Michelle and Buchanan head towards the briefing room.
I get the feeling Tony's not entirely comfortable with the configuration here today.
We haven't seen each other for a very long time. It's uncomfortable for both of us.
The difference is you seem to be able to stay on point. Not so sure about him.
I am. He'll be fine.
12:18. Yosik stands by the marina impatiently waiting for Prado to arrive. Two CTU vehicles arrive at a nearby fountain and park under cover of darkness. Curtis climbs out of the lead car and heads two teams of agents with guns. They run into position and crouch behind the trees and bushes of a waterside park. Curtis takes out a night scope and begins to scan the waterfront. Seeing Yosik waiting by a wire fence, he orders his men forward.
He's alone.
What's he doing?
It looks like a meet. He's waiting for someone.
Is the Marine unit in place?
Yeah, they're behind the jetty.
Curtis takes out the night scope again and watches a man in a leather jacket and patterned shirt stride up to Josic.
It looks like the man Josic's meeting's just arrived. He's walking towards him.
Is it Marwan?
I can't tell.
Remember, Curtis, we need them both alive.
I copy. All right, all teams.
Huckle's off of the pier. Keep them contained, but do not shoot to kill.
Repeat, do not shoot to kill.
Josic looks relieved as he sees the man walk towards him out of the night. Further along the fence, a man in uniform does his rounds.
All right, teams, respond.
Who is that?
This is McKellen at point 3. It looks like a private patrol.
All right, hold your positions.
Josic. Prado. Elite. I've been standing here waiting for you.
I'm here now. Let's go.
Come on. What are you waiting for?
Wait.
What's the matter?
Someone's here.
The security guard radios in his report.
It's okay.
It's just harbor security.
No. No, something's wrong. They're on to us.
Josic, now!
A jumpy Josic looks around into the darkness, but sees nothing but his own fears. He decides to follow Prado, checking over his shoulder every step of the way.
The man he's meeting is not Marwan.
12:21. The two men enter the marina, walk down onto a jetty, and hurry towards Prado's moored yacht.
Is there anybody else there besides the two of them?
Not unless there's someone else on the boat.
The two men step aboard.
Our marine units, move into position.
All teams, move in.
Teams of agents move slowly forward in the dark and pause behind the trunks of trees as they tighten their net on the boat. Inside, Prado unrolls a chart while Josic remains restless.
We're okay. I think we should just get out of here.
There was a police officer up there.
I told you.
That's harbor security. They stop by all the time.
Agents make their way onto the jetty and surround the boat. Prado spots them through Venetian blinds.
Who the hell is that?
As Curtis cautions them from the jetty, Josic contacts Marwan on his cell phone.
This is CTU. We have you completely surrounded.
Yes.
They found us.
Where are you?
It doesn't matter. It's over. They're going to get us.
Josic, you can't let that happen.
You cannot allow yourself to be captured.
I understand.
Also, you have to kill Prado. He knows too much.
I'll do what's necessary.
Prado shoots him first.
Josic.
Josic!
Shot fired! Move in! Come out with your hands up!
You're completely surrounded! There's no escape!
Coming out!
Drop the gun!
Put the gun down! Put the gun down!
Step off the boat! Get off the boat!
There's a man inside! I shot him! He was gonna kill me! He was trying to steal my boat! It was self-defense!
Put your hands on your head!
Who are you?
Ow!
Who are you?
My name's Joe Prado. I'm innocent. I have nothing to hide.
Agent McKellen to Curtis.
Where's Josic?
He's dead. His phone is lying next to him.
Get him out of here.
Let's go.
Secure the boat. Josic's dead. We have the man he was meeting.
He says his name is Joe Prado.
Bring him in.
Will do. We also recovered Josic's cell phone. We'll try and pull something off it. I'll report to you en route.
Good work, Curtis. We're standing by.
12:23. Marwan in the back of his van.
What do you want to do?
Control the situation. Make sure Prado doesn't talk to the authorities. He can hurt us.
How do we get to him?
We can't. Not directly.
Marwan suddenly has an idea, picks up his cell phone, and dials a familiar number.
Hello.
This is Marwan.
Just
Yes, Marwan.
Can you reach Amnesty Global at this hour?
What do you need?
An attorney.
What?
Tell them that an innocent man is being held without charges and is about to be tortured at CTU Los Angeles.
By God's grace, President Keeler survived, but more than 75 others did not. I share in your grief and anger over this tragedy. My family and I feel no differently than each and every one of you. We are shocked, saddened, and maybe a little afraid. These terrorists have displayed, once again, their indifference toward human life. They will pay for what they have done, I assure you.
Bill, excuse me.
However, we must endure a tremendous test.
There's a convoy missing.
What?
It was headed from Illinois to Jefferson City, Iowa. It disappeared just inside the border.
Disappeared?
They were due to call in at their checkpoint every 20 minutes. They didn't. I tried to reach them on ComSat. There was no reply.
What about satellite?
Nothing showing up.
What was on the trucks?
A nuclear warhead.
President Logan's broadcast.
Our faith and our resolve will prevail.
12:25. End of part two.
I have Prado's information waiting for me as soon as I get back to CTU.
Okay. We've got the fingerprints. I'll run them through our databases.
Thanks.
What do we know about the prisoner Curtis springing in?
Just a name he gave. Joe Prado. Curtis just uploaded his picture and prints. I'm running through them now.
Prep holding so Curtis can begin interrogation as soon as they arrive. I want this man broken in minutes, not hours. Clear all directories. Put all resources into finding this warhead.
Believe me, Mike, I wish I'd known about this sooner, too.
Look, I'm not pointing fingers here. I'm on your side. But the president is not going to be happy that the statement he made could be invalidated.
I don't know what to tell you. We're putting everything we've got into finding this missing warhead.
All right, let me get back to you.
Move! At the sight of the ambush convoy, a group of Middle Eastern men heave a U.S. Army crate onto their flatbed truck.
Inside, let's go! Move, move, move!
They secure it under a tarpaulin and radio Marwan.
We have it. We're heading out now.
12:31. The truck chugs past the burning remains of the convoy and off down a woodland track. Meanwhile, Novik approaches a sour-looking Logan in the bunker briefing room.
Thomas just told me we're missing a nuclear warhead.
Yes, I just heard some of the details from Bill Buchanan.
When did this happen?
It disappeared somewhere between 1:45 a.m. and 2:15 Central Time.
None of our satellites was able to pick this up.
It was in mountain terrain at night. Our people are analyzing the imagery now, but it's going to be hard to find.
What are we going to do if we don't find this man, Marwan?
Our people are doing everything they can to contain him to the Los Angeles area. It's going to be difficult for him to leave.
Yeah, well, it's difficult to shoot down Air Force One with one of our own stealth fighters, but he managed to do that. Who knows what else they're planning? I'm sure he's going to come after me next.
Mr. President, there's no indication that that's his plan.
You don't know that. I don't know that. We don't have enough information to know what his plan is.
The head of Secret Service is on his way over now. He has a revised plan. I'm certain will ease your mind about your safety.
Logan stares down at his shoes. Meanwhile, Curtis arrives back at CTU with Prado in custody. Edgar to Chloe.
That's the bastard Curtis found at the marina. The one who's helping the terrorists.
I guess.
I'd like to get him in a room for a few minutes.
What?
He talked to me in about 2 seconds.
Oh, you want to hurt him to get revenge for your mother dying. I can understand that.
I make sure it's processed immediately. Take him to holding. Did Edgar run the prints I sent?
Yeah, name checks out. Joseph Prado, ex-Marine. No criminal record, but over the last 5 years, he's got no record of employment either.
Which means he's a criminal or a mercenary.
That's right.
I'll find out if he knows anything about the missing warhead.
Tony.
What do you got?
I found the convoy. I just got off with Iowa Highway Patrol. Military transport was ambushed. Everyone's dead.
What about the warhead?
Gone.
All right, find out what kind of vehicle they need to transport it. Also, tell local law enforcement to put up perimeters. I want you to check for any airstrips or remote clearings where they might be able to put down a chopper.
Yeah.
12:33. Michelle to Curtis in Prado's observation room.
Remember, he's an ex-Marine. He won't cave easily.
I just need to establish that even though we're in a government building, I'm willing to go as far as it takes.
How are you going to start?
I'll use Richards.
Okay.
Curtis leads Richards into Prado's holding room. Richards enters with his infamous case of hypodermic syringes. Prado sits defiant and proud.
Told you I'm not talking to you, pal. I haven't been charged with anything, I haven't done anything wrong. I killed that man in self-defense. He was trying to steal my boat.
We're both on this lie. So let's not waste each other's time. What do you say, Joe?
I'm not saying anything to you.
Highly unlikely.
Michelle watches through the one-way mirror as Curtis gives the nod to Richards to begin. He sets his case on the metal interview table and takes out a large syringe.
What the hell is this?
Tell us what you know.
Yes.
Michelle, where's Curtis?
He's just about to start with Prado.
Tell him to stop.
You ready?
What?
That's an order. Both of you, come to the floor now.
It was self-defense!
Hey!
You can't do this to me!
What?
Buchanan wants to see us before you start.
Wait till I get back.
Curtis joins Michelle in the observation room.
What's this about?
I don't know.
12:35. Michelle and Curtis leave the holding room complex and approach Buchanan on the main concourse, who scrutinizes an official document. A bald, weaselly-looking man in a drab suit stands next to him, smugly clutching at his leather briefcase.
This is David Weiss from Amnesty Global.
And I have a signed court order here protecting the rights of one Joseph Prado, whom you have in custody. This U.S. Marshal is here to assure that I'm taken to the prisoner immediately.
This is ridiculous.
That's your opinion. But Mr. Prado's rights will not be violated. Take me to him now.
We have no choice, Curtis. Do what he says.
There's a nuclear warhead missing. This is our only lead, Bill.
I'll get into this with the Justice Department. In the meantime, do what he says.
Curtis is dumbfounded. 12:40.
When can I expect his call? It's extremely important. Yes, I understand that, but I need to talk to the judge personally. Please have him call me back.
Mr. Buchanan?
Edgar, do you have those hourlies for me?
No, I don't, but I'm here on another matter.
You what?
I heard the interrogation with Prado has been put on hold.
That's right.
Why?
Edgar, you have a job to do. Please get back to it.
I know I'm not supposed to be interfering in matters of policy, but considering what I've been through today, my mother dying because of these terrorists, I want to know why we're letting some slimy lawyer protect a dirtbag like Prado.
We're not happy about it either, and we're going to fix it, but it's going to take some time.
That's time we don't have.
Edgar, stop. I'm trying to cut you some slack here, but you need to get back to your job. You need to put all that other stuff on hold for a while, please.
Yes, sir.
Buchanan. Yes, I'll hold for the judge.
What was that about? You're supposed to be doing the hourlies.
I know. I don't know why everybody keeps telling me what I'm supposed to be doing. I have a photographic memory in case you forgot.
How could I forget? You tell me like every other day.
I don't like what's happening here. We have some PC lawyer holding us up from doing our job.
Your job is to do the hourlies. You're holding yourself up.
Edgar watches her walk away, then grudgingly taps at his keyboard. 12:42. Jack arrives back at CTU.
Chloe.
Have you heard about the missing warhead?
Yeah. FBI link up with Iowa Sheriff's Department yet?
Yes, I'm sharing both databases.
Okay, good. Who's questioning the prisoner?
You mean Joe Prado, the guy that Curtis brought in?
Yeah.
No one.
What are you talking about?
An attorney came in from Amnesty Global with a court order saying we weren't allowed to be alone with Prado. Buchanan's on the phone with the judge who signed the order now.
Be right back. I don't believe this.
I disagree with you, Your Honor. This does not fall outside the boundary of the Patriot Act. Yeah, all right, thanks.
What the hell's going on here? You've got a key witness and a missing warhead. We should be pressing this guy with everything we've got.
Judge Norton won't budge. If we want to appeal, we have to wait till 7 a.m. take it to an appellate judge.
Does he know what the stakes are?
He does, but his feeling is Prado's got no record. He shouldn't be treated like a terrorist.
What about the fact that he was caught meeting with a known terrorist in the middle of the night on a pier?
Circumstantial.
Bill, we need to interrogate this prisoner. I don't care what kind of a court order they're waving at you.
I agree, but he's got his attorney with him and a U.S. Marshal protecting his rights.
Where's his attorney?
In holding with Prado. Jack, don't make it worse.
I just want to talk to him.
How much longer do I have to stay here?
I'm trying to get you out as soon as I can. My office is in the process of filing a complaint.
They have nothing on me. I was standing alone on my boat. I don't even know this man that they were going after. Come in with me now.
Jack enters so strongly that Prado flinches in his chair.
Who are you?
My name is Jack Bauer, Department of Defense, and you are?
David Weiss, Amnesty Global.
Curtis Weiss, a suspect not in his restraints.
The Amnesty Global's order supersedes our authority.
Mr. Bauer, my client is cooperating. He's not trying to go anywhere. All he wants is to be treated like any other U.S. citizen.
Your client aided and abetted the people who attacked the President of the United States today.
You don't know that.
As a matter of fact, we do.
Then charge him.
May I speak with you privately? At the door.
12:44. Jack and Weiss converse in the corridor.
You and I both know that your client isn't clean and that he conspired to steal a U.S. nuclear warhead.
All my client wants is due process.
Mr. Weiss, these people are not going to stop attacking us today until millions and millions of Americans are dead. Now, I don't want to bypass the Constitution, but these are extraordinary circumstances.
The Constitution was born out of extraordinary circumstances, Mr. Bauer. This plays out by the book, not in a back room with a rubber hose.
I hope you can live with that.
Jack turns his back on Weiss and opens the holding room door. After a moment's pause, Weiss enters in. As Jack walks away, he starts thinking. He checks his watch. A security guard notices his expression of doubt.
Sir, can I help you?
No, it's all right.
Jack hurries back to the holding room and challenges Weiss.
How'd you get here so fast?
What?
Who asked you to represent Mr. Prado?
I don't have to give you that information.
Curtis, from the time of his arrest, did the suspect have time to call a lawyer?
No.
Jack to Buchanan in the observation room.
Marwan called Amnesty Global. This is his play.
That means Prado definitely knows something Marwan doesn't want us to hear. We still can't get around that court order.
We need to call the president now.
12:46. Logan holds a presidential meeting in the bunker.
We cannot have any leaks regarding this missing warhead.
I've contacted General Wilson in Iowa. He's sealing off the roads while we clean up the ambushed convoy.
What about those highway patrol officers who discovered it?
Wilson's already brought them in and is explaining the situation. The good news is this is happening in the middle of the night. Most of the country's still asleep.
Yes?
CTU Los Angeles is on the line for President Logan. They say it's urgent.
Thank you, gentlemen. That'll be all.
They obey.
Walt. Stay.
Logan waits for the last person to leave before he finally gives the nod to continue.
Put him through.
Go ahead, please.
Mr. President, this is Bill Buchanan. I'm here with Jack Bauer.
Yes, Bill, what do you have for me?
Sir, in the process of trying to track down this missing warhead, we brought in a prime suspect for questioning.
What have you learned?
Well, that's the problem, sir. Right now, our hands are tied. Amnesty Global has interceded on his behalf.
Interceded on what grounds?
He's a U.S. citizen with no previous record.
Why is he a suspect?
We found him with Yosik Hatami, a man who's linked to today's terrorist events.
I don't understand. It doesn't violate any law to question a suspect.
Mr. President, if I may.
Go ahead, Mike.
Jack, it's Mike Novick.
Hi, Mike.
Am I correct in assuming that this suspect is unlikely to respond to the kind of Q&A that his lawyer would permit?
That's correct, Mike. If we want to procure any information from this suspect, we're going to have to do it behind closed doors.
You're talking about torturing this man?
I'm talking about doing what is necessary to stop this warhead from being used against us.
Give us a moment, Bill.
Walt turns off the speaker button.
Mike, what do you think?
I think we need to do whatever it takes to find Marwan. Walt?
Weigh in.
Well, this makes me nervous.
Why?
Should this man be innocent, as he claims he is, your first act as president is to sanction his torture. That'll forever haunt your presidency.
Logan looks dully back and forth between Walt and Novick. Eventually, he presses the talk button and announces his first major presidential decision.
All right, gentlemen, here's what I'll agree to. I'll call a special session with members of the Justice Department, and we'll discuss this. I'll have an answer for you in 20 minutes.
Mr. President, this thing could be over in 20 minutes.
That's as far as I'm willing to go right now.
With all due respect, sir, please let us do our jobs.
Logan weakly looks back and forth between his two advisors as Novick clenches his frustrated fist against his tightened lips.
I'll get back to you as soon as I can.
Jack and Buchanan look at each other in disbelief, but while Buchanan follows orders, Jack thinks out of the box.
I'll have Curtis start the interrogation of Prado.
You and I both know we can't afford to be wasting time like this.
You heard the president. He's not going to let us touch this guy.
The president's not here. You are.
If I authorize this, they'll know in 10 minutes we'll all be out the door.
What if I could find another way to handle this that wouldn't implicate anyone else but me?
I'm not going to authorize that, Jack.
You don't have to.
What do you mean?
Accept my resignation.
And if I do that, what then?
Release the suspect.
Release him.
We don't question him, we don't charge him, we just let him go. You won't need a lawyer or a marshal.
You're gonna take him on as a private citizen.
12:50. End of part 3. 4. 12:54. Marwan's van stops outside a seedy nightclub in downtown L.A. Marwan jumps out and contacts the driver of the Warhead truck by cell phone.
Yes. How far away are you?
92 miles.
When you get there, you'll meet with Morris.
Is he the one who's going to configure the detonation?
Yes. I've given him the codes.
Okay.
You have to follow the plan exactly, Sabir. We cannot give the Americans time to start an evacuation.
Yes, Marwan, I understand.
No delays.
It will be done.
As Marwan looks around, he takes in all the towering skyscrapers with their dotted lights. Audrey to Jack as he signs for a taser gun.
Hey, when did you get back?
A few minutes ago, thanks.
Good, I could use your help on the DOD interface.
I can't help you right now, Audrey, I'm sorry.
What are you doing?
I'll tell you when I get back.
Jack. Jack!
Audrey, please.
Curtis and Tony escort Prado and his lawyer onto the main concourse.
The hell are you trying to pull here? First you want to torture me, and now you're throwing me out?
That's right.
It's okay, Joe. I'm sure they tried to fight the restraining order, then realized they couldn't.
No, that's not what this is. They're doing something.
Don't be so paranoid. I'm just not interested in you anymore.
I want protection when I get out of here.
The marshal can escort you back wherever you want to
go. No, no, no! You know what? Change your plan. I don't want to leave here until I know I'm safe for the next few days.
If you don't leave, I'm going to have to arrest you for trespassing the secured government building. And once that happens, not even your attorney can protect you. Correct me if I'm wrong, David.
He's right.
12:57. Curtis turns Prado around to face the exit, and they march him out of CTU. A disgusted Edgar stomps over to Chloe.
What's going on? Where are they taking Prado?
He's been released.
Why?
I don't know. It came from Buchanan.
Mr. Buchanan, why are you letting him go?
Edgar, not now, please.
But he's working with the people that killed my mother.
Not now.
Weiss and the U.S. Marshal accompany Prado into the exterior car park.
Cheer up, Joe. You're a free man.
Yeah, right.
The marshal's gonna take you home.
No, are you kidding me? I can't go home. I gotta go somewhere public like a hotel.
Fine, tell him where you want to go. Don't let anyone know you're there. Here's my card. You call me if anyone from CTU tries to bother you.
Prado reads the card.
Yeah, okay.
Prado hangs by Weiss's car.
You're gonna be fine.
As Weiss climbs into his soft-top convertible and revs the engine, Prado follows the marshal across the car park and jumps into the passenger seat of his four-track. Suddenly, Jack attacks the marshal with a taser and points a gun in Prado's face.
Make a sound, and I will blow your brains out all over the windshield. Handcuff your left arm to the dashboard. Now.
12:58. Prado is forced to comply and looks hopelessly towards Weiss's car as it leaves the car park.
Now we're gonna talk.
Prado clenches up his eyes with dread as Jack climbs into the back of the car and handcuffs his other hand to the doorpost behind his head.
Now, you and I both know your heart isn't in this. You just wanted the money. I don't want you. All I want is Marwan.
I don't know any Marwan. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, I'm running out of time here, so why don't we just cut to the chase?
Jack breaks his fingers.
Where's Marwan?
I don't know!
Meanwhile, Logan ratifies a written agreement with the Justice Department and hands it to Novik to read. Edgar fumes with a desire for maternal vengeance, and a frustrated Michelle sits with Buchanan in the briefing room, anxiously waiting for news from Jack. When breaking fingers doesn't yield results, Jack holds a knife to Prado's throat.
Where is Marwan?
Where's Marwan?
I don't know! I swear I don't know!
Okay. Marwan's gonna be at a place called the Hub tonight.
Where is it?
It's just...
Where is it?
It's just east of downtown! Just east of downtown.
This will help you with the pain.
Jack knocks him out. 1 a.m. The end.
I wish I was as cool as Jack Bauer. Anyway, more 24 tomorrow at midnight. Next tonight, though, Sky Vegas!